about.
Hello, children. Hello. Here is this morning's story. Are you ready? Then we'll begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You're on your way to the Super Bowl. But does your game still feel a bit flat? Cialis Inflatable helps fill your balls anytime the moment is right. Reach under center with confidence, knowing those balls are full and ready to grab. Before starting Cialis Inflatable, make sure your quarterback actually has balls to inflate. Do not play with deflated balls. Side effects may include inflated ego, swelling or painful sacks, loss of draft picks or hoodie sleeves, and hefty fines. Why let deflated balls hold you back? Give your balls that extra pump for the big game. Ask your equipment manager about Cialis Inflatable and stop cheating.
And now, all right, let's get started. Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 27th of January.
What's up?
It's almost Christmas.
You don't have to tell me, man.
Right?
We already passed 1/12th Christmas.
Sure. Celebrated.
Just flying on by.
Right.
Hey, first of all, nice blizzard. Second of all, way to go, Blink-182. Third of all, here's a fascinating story. Let's face it: when you're out on the road, one of the dangers of traveling, whether it's a great distance or a small one, is sometimes you have to pee.
Sure.
Or worse, you have to poop, and then what? It's not always easy to find a place to go when you're out on the road. Well, enter a new app called Air PMP. Their slogan is "Pee all you can pee with Air PMP." And it is exactly what you think it is, an app that directs you to the nearest restroom no matter where you are. You enter your location on the app, or I would imagine it would have GPS that would know where you are,
right.
I hope. And you can instantly see a plethora of high-quality toilets in your area. It'll show you the ones that are free that you're allowed to use, like those that might be in a local cafe or a store, for example. But here's what I found interesting. Some are in private homes that will allow you to use their bathroom for a fee.
Yeah. How much of a fee? Like, would you let anyone do that?
Well, you're not required to let other people use your bathroom in order for you to use somebody's. But the
no,
fact
I know,
that
but I'm saying
somebody's willing to do it, I think is pretty cool.
But I'm saying for how much? I mean, I would think it would also differ house to house, right?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure you can set your own fee based on how little you want people in your house. For instance, there's a top-notch spot written about in this article in Manhattan where it costs $3. To use the toilet. So they post their hours and you knock on their door and go, hey, I'm here to use your toilet. And they go, all right, come on in. Give me your $3.
Wow.
And you get a chance to use a safe, clean bathroom that's in the area where you are.
It's funny. $3 sounds like a ridiculous amount of money to go to the bathroom. In some places you used to charge like a quarter and that seemed like
it was all.
But if you have to go bad enough, $3 is a bargain.
Yeah, and let's face it, there are a lot of places, you know, you've been to New York, there are a lot of businesses there where there's no way they let you come in and pee. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, you know, New York is in a unique situation in that you just pee anywhere.
You just pee on the street.
You don't need an Airbnb.
Airbnb is not the only app to help travelers relieve themselves on the road. There's another one that's called Sit or Squat that apparently was created by Charmin, the toilet paper brand, and they let users rate and review roadside bathrooms. There's another one called Flush Toilet Finder that lists more than 100,000 bathrooms worldwide. I had no idea, by the way, that any of this existed.
Yeah, is this much of a problem?
Well,
if you have to go to the bathroom, you're on the road, you pull off, you find a fast food restaurant or gas station or something?
I mean, I guess you can do that. I guess you can wing it, but you can wing a lot of things.
Yeah.
That technology has figured out a way to make a little bit more precision for you, you know? Look, there was a time before you had a way to know which restaurants were up ahead, and you just kind of guessed which one you wanted
yeah,
to go
true.
To.
That's
well,
true.
I guess we'll wait, hope to see something. And now you've got an app that'll say, hey, if I get off this exit, there's a, you know, there's an IHOP 4/10 of a mile down the road. I mean, sometimes that information is helpful to you. But I just thought this was interesting. I'd never heard that people will let you into their house to use their bathroom.
Yeah, it does seem like you spend most of your time trying to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. You know? Making sure none of the people you know poop in your house.
Even if you have a party and you have people over, you go, use that one.
Yes,
you guys use that one. That one's far enough for me.
I don't think $3 would be enough for me to let a stranger come into my house and poop. I really don't. I mean, if you got a great location in Manhattan, who knows? Maybe it all adds up, man. That rent can't be inexpensive there. That's for sure.
The app I use is How Far Am I from Mike Catherwood's Front Yard? Sometimes it's too far.
That's all you need.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee Show, shall we? Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Woo!
That's what I'm saying. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Woo!
He knows.
Woo! Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Woo!
Right.
Well, this better be a good show for that guy then.
He is excited about the Bachelor Report. That's my guess.
Aren't we all?
That's my guess.
Now, all the black people are gone now, right? Because we're like three episodes in.
I do not know.
All we just have are damaged white people now.
Well, they're all – everyone's damaged.
That's true. Okay.
I guess it's like a couple hours every time, so we don't want to watch it. Ralph and P love watching it. They rarely agree on it, but they do the Bachelor Report.
Who's this Ralph Garman guy? He's such a dick.
Hmm? Also, you found money. Did you return it? The person that lost the money may have not known. Bean did a story at this time yesterday about Burger King giving somebody roughly $700, and they turned around and took it back.
They sure did. Although their motives were sketchy for me, because it sounds like they did it because they thought God was watching, not because it was the right thing to do in civilized society.
Well, can't that be both?
It could be.
God is watching is sort of the same as I need to do the right thing.
But that's like saying atheists can't have a moral compass. You know what I mean?
Well, if they only did it, it goes that deep.
If they only did it because of God, I just wonder, they should do it not because of God is what I'm saying. They should do it because it's the right thing to do for humans.
Okay, so the people that took $2,700 in cash back to Burger King didn't do it well enough for you.
That's right.
You need them to step it up and do it better.
That's right.
You're insane. Muggs went out on the street and interviewed people and asked them who was in the Super Bowl.
Sounds like a pretty easy question this time of year.
You sure would think. We're going to give you the details on that. He just asked them the teams. Who are the teams?
Okay.
How many people got both of them right? How many people got one of them right? How many people got none of them right?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you know, we learned in a conversation with Lisa May, who unfortunately is out sick today, but just a few days ago, that she had no idea who Aaron Rodgers was. So there are certainly people for whom professional football is just not on their radar, period.
Yes.
So why would they know? I guess I would think it would be hard to avoid the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the thing is whatever you're watching, there's usually a commercial or a news tease or something. It just seems to be everywhere.
I mean, you don't follow baseball, Kevin.
Right.
You know who's in the World Series when it gets to be around that time?
Most of the time, yeah.
Because you just happen to come across it whether you want to or not, because it's a big story.
You watch SportsCenter. And, you know,
that's true. You are at least in the sports world, but I guess a lot of these people on the street may follow no sports, so that'll be interesting.
We have Daniel Day Kim coming in the studio today from Hawaii 5-0.
He's pretty dreamy.
He's pretty dreamy. Matt Fowler's going to tell us why WWE fans are all up in arms. They may riot. They may burn the place down.
This is the angriest I've seen the WWE fans in a long, long time. Apparently that Royal Rumble was not.
It was not. So we're going to talk to him. Apparently everybody's upset. They're canceling. They're getting upset. And this is all fictional, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's like writing a strongly worded letter to General Hospital. It's like
right. Interesting. All right. So we'll talk to him and find out what went on. We also have highlights of My Strange Addiction in about a half hour, just after 6, of a girl who likes to spray and swallow air fresheners. She takes an air freshener. Sprays it on her tongue. Good long spray. Swallows it. Does that many, 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 many times a day.
So she's clean on the outside and on the inside.
Maybe, yeah. And now I'll tell you that in a half hour. It's an interesting twist. Also, don't forget K-Rock's World Tour 2015. Destination number 3 is U2 in Barcelona, Spain. You can qualify for that coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Bean. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi, Bean Baxter.
What you talking about?
Talking about pop music.
I like it.
Actually, I'm talking about Bill Cosby.
Oh, is there more?
Yesterday, another alleged victim of Bill Cosby came forward. This is going to be a hard one to shoo away if you're one of Cosby's lawyers. Her name is Syndra Ladd. She is a former entertainment executive and wife of Hollywood producer Alan Ladd Jr. Her accusations are published in the Huffington Post, claiming that Bill drugged and raped her while she was living in New York City in 1969, the very same year that Cosby allegedly assaulted another victim, Joan Tarshis. Now, the way Syndra Ladd tells it, she was working in New York City for a film producer when Cosby asked for her number. She was 21 years old at the time. He was 11 years older, 32, and still married to Camille Cosby. She says at first he acted like a perfect gentleman. Then one night he gave her a pill for a headache. Mm. And the next thing she knew, she woke up butt naked in his bed the next morning. She said, and I quote, Bill was wearing a white terry cloth bathrobe, acting as if there was nothing unusual. It was obvious to me that he had sex with me. I was horrified, embarrassed, and ashamed. She said, no, she didn't file charges at the time because she was intimidated. But she says she has no plans to sue or discuss the matter any further. But she did say that she wanted to write about the incident because, in her opinion, I quote, it's the right thing to do and the truth deserves to be known.
Hmm.
This woman is a well-respected entertainment executive, and she's been in the business for a long time. Married to a high-profile producer. No real reason to come out and tell a lie.
Nope. And her story is so compelling, too, because she talks about how it's still true to a certain extent today, but back then, the woman was always called into question.
Sure.
You know, her morals and her credibility.
Sadly, it was easier for her just to put it behind her and move on than it was to...
You're always treated like the victim. And she also said something that was interesting, which was that nobody really knew anything about these kinds of pills that you could give people. This was long before we knew what a date rape drug was, and people just wouldn't have believed her. They just would have thought, oh, you just got drunk and passed out and had sex. So, terrible. Hmm. How many is that now, Ralph? Are we keeping track? It's got to be around 25, 30?
I'm not counting, but it's at least mid-20s,
yeah.
Someone the other day drew the connection that Bill Cosby has now had as many victims as Ted Bundy. Of course, he didn't kill anybody, as far as we know. But still, I mean, talk about your serial offenders.
Yep.
He certainly seems to be one, if any of these allegations are in fact true, so... Still sad. Every time I hear about these stories, just sad stuff. Almost as sad as seeing Miley Cyrus twerk against a tree in a bikini. Yeah, she's twerking a tree in this video that she posted on Instagram yesterday. No one really knows why she's twerking a tree.
That tree was hot and bothered, though.
She's wearing a black string bikini, and she is smoking out. She captioned the whole video, "If it smells like funk, and we keep it stanky." I don't think she's talking about the pot either. I think she's, something else I'm sure is stanky.
She's delightful.
That's a Black Eyed Peas song, isn't it? I think.
You know what? My knowledge of the music of the Black Eyed Peas is limited at best.
And that's probably good.
What do I know?
Yeah.
This is going to shock you, but Kourtney Kardashian thinks that her boyfriend Scott Disick may not be the perfect father.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, you know, they had another kid. And insiders say she's at her wit's end because he's gone on benders in Aspen and Vegas since the birth and has plans for a big nightclub tour through England. He's going to be leaving the country.
Nightclub tour.
Is this like three kids for them? And he's never changed a bit, right?
What does a guy have to do to convince you he's going to be a bad dad?
I am a drunk loser. How much do I have to tell you that?
She didn't get it. We're having another one.
What does Scott Disick do on a nightclub tour?
Tours nightclub?
Is this the kind of thing we were talking about a couple weeks ago, Ralph, that amazed you that people will pay to be in close proximity to someone who's marginally famous?
Yeah, I guess he cashes in because he's been on that show. I guess they pay him to show up at nightclubs.
Unbelievable. So he's there to make the baby, and that's about it.
Yeah.
He's been a loser since before they had kids. Anybody that watched that show, you go, that guy sucks.
Always, yes. And every time they have a kid. He says, I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to straighten my act up. And
then
he's loaded again.
Yeah, you know what? He's not going to. That's okay.
And lastly, while we're talking about reality TV stars, sad news, boys. Farrah Abraham is apparently off the market.
Oh.
Yeah. The backdoor teen mom is hot and heavy with a new boyfriend named Simon Sarin, who she showed up with at the AVN Awards in Vegas over the weekend. They were making out on the red carpet, and, oh, I'm telling you, my heart was broken. I really thought maybe I had a shot with the backdoor teen mom.
Yeah.
She unveiled her new blow-up doll.
Oh, she's got it all.
She is just gifted and lovely.
But you've seen the doll, right?
Let me just say, nice.
Oh, that's creepy.
I haven't heard much about her child lately, Ralph. Is that kid still in the picture?
Game to the Disicks. Game to the Kardashians.
Somebody want to check the closet at her house?
Seriously, isn't that how she became famous, by having a kid?
She was a teen mom.
Right? That's what I thought.
But now she's more backdoor than teen mom.
Yeah.
Really.
It doesn't seem like there's much mention of the baby anymore.
Today's celebrity birthdays, football analyst Chris Collinsworth, or as I like to call him, the ostrich. He is 56 years old today. That guy is all neck.
He really is.
He's got an Adam's apple the size of your head.
He's a good broadcaster, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I like him.
He's a bit of a dick. I think he's a bit of a dick.
Really?
Yeah. Keith Olbermann, speaking to dicks, he's 56
years
old.
He's absolutely a dick. Yeah. And a good broadcaster. He's both.
Yes, he is. Alan Cumming, very talented actor. He's 50 years old today. Faith No More singer Mike Patton turns 47 years old. Our good friend Mr. Patton Oswalt is 46 years old today. Mike Patton has a birthday, and Patton Oswalt has a birthday.
That's crazy.
Now if there's a guy with the first name named Oswalt, we'll have the chain be completed. There's no Oswalt on the list.
Cobblepot.
Kevin.
Huh?
Nice nerd pull right there. Rosamund Pike celebrates her 36th birthday. She, of course, from Gone Girl. Anthony Pettis, UFC light heavyweight champion, celebrates his 28th birthday. And Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Imagine Dragons, again, the new record is going to be called Smoke and Mirrors, and it comes out on February the 17th. That is I Bet My Life. That is good stuff. Hey, late-breaking update on what's going on with the very sad yesterday Blink-182 situation, because we like all of those guys.
Yeah.
But we'll tell you the latest going on inside the walls here at K-Rock in about 20 minutes or so, right here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. You don't want to miss it if you are a Blink-182 fan.
I'd like to introduce you to Evelyn. She's a 26-year-old girl. She has been addicted to drinking air freshener for 3 years.
Now, when you say drinking air freshener, what do you mean?
She takes a bottle of air freshener. She sprays it on her tongue, usually in two-second bursts, and then she swallows it.
All right.
Every day for 3 years, she goes through 20 cans of air spray a week, which they say is approximately what a small hotel would go through.
Oh, man.
This is Evelyn.
My name is Evelyn. I'm 27 years old. I live in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and I'm addicted to drinking air freshener.
Yep, my strange addiction.
How, and I know we asked this of all of the victims, how do you get started? What's the first time you see a can of air freshener and go, I'm going to put that into my mouth?
She was walking through the house with a glass of ice, she says, Bean, and she had one of those that automatically sprays.
Uh-huh.
And it got around the rim of her glass. And so, of course, she tasted it. That's the disconnect. That's where I don't go. I'd maybe go back and get another glass. And she liked it, and from that point on, she was hooked.
How about that?
Yep.
I bet it would be an interesting topic to talk to people who eat or drink things that they enjoy the taste of that are not food.
Yeah, well.
Like I used to chew paraffin wax all the time instead of gum. I loved paraffin wax, for instance.
You also ate paste, right? So here she tells us what she likes about it.
What I love about drinking air freshener is the taste. There's a million air fresheners out there.
All right. Now, does she have a favorite or does she just like all of them?
I bet she's got a favorite.
But the one that I like is Fresh Linen. I've tried other scents, but I don't like them. None of them taste like they say they smell. Cinnamon is not cinnamon. Apple Crisp is like dirt.
She's an air freshener snob.
That's right. Fresh Linen is what she likes to eat.
Who knew that existed?
Huh.
She needs Fresh Linen. She tells us the frequency with which she uses it. And I'd like you to listen to the nice little music behind it.
I've got to have Fresh Linen. I literally crave it. In the last 3 years, there's not a day where I've not had it.
It's such a nice story.
It is.
3 years every single day. How does she do it? Does she always spray it on her tongue?
There are only two ways that I have my air freshener. One is straight out of the can. The can has to be extremely cold. I make my tongue into a bowl so it'll catch it. Or it has to go over crushed ice. So we just spray it over the ice. Mm-hmm. And then you just eat it from there.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable that you would spray so much that it would turn into a drink.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
This might be a good point to say, don't do this. She's dumb. You would be stupid if you did this. I did put up a link, though. You can watch her. Watch her spray it in her mouth. This is going to shock you.
My fiancé thinks I'm crazy.
My future wife, Evelyn, loves to spray.
She has a fiancé.
Wouldn't that be a deal breaker, even if everything else about her was perfect? Wouldn't you just say, I'm not going to marry somebody who's drinking air freshener?
I don't understand. I'm pretty sure it's unhealthy, because if you look at it, it says flammable.
All right, he's not a rocket scientist. He's pretty sure it's unhealthy because it does say flammable on it. He tells us a charming little story.
Evelyn actually wakes up in the middle of the night, and she would spray. And then I would wake up, and then she'll lay back down, act like she didn't do anything.
All right, so we've heard these before, Bean, right? These right. My Strange Addictions on TLC mm-hmm. Wednesday nights at 10. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Well, some loved one in the person's life says you've got to go get some professional help, and they make that person go to a doctor where the doctor explains the health risks if the behavior continues.
And then they say, we're going to continue anyway because we like it.
Exactly.
That's how every single episode goes except for this one.
Love is powerful, I guess, because he'll just drink it to make me happy. Is that bad that I make him drink it? Oh, God, I'm poisoning my fiancé. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's drinking it too now.
Oh, no.
Her fiancé is now drinking air freshener as well.
No.
They deserve each other.
They are the perfect couple.
Now, sometimes they'll find a best friend, and that best friend will talk sense into them. Or take them shopping at CVS to get some more.
I always react like, oh, my God, you're doing this again. Is this apple cinnamon?
No.
Yeah, come on.
No. No.
Dude, be festive.
No.
She has to spray that one specific kind. Anything else she won't touch, she won't spray. How about you try?
How about you try this? Hey, how about this one? How about you try this?
Hey, first date is free.
So she's got a fiancé, and she has a friend. Both, one of them is also spraying the air freshener in their mouth, and the other is trying to get her to buy different scents.
This is unbelievable. So there's nobody in this woman's life who's pointing out what a terrible idea this is.
Hey, dum-dum, stop that. She doesn't have that voice.
It's nasty. It's disgusting.
Right.
But she loves it, mm-hmm. and I love her. So therefore, I just have to
take her to a doctor.
Deal with it.
Deal with it, right. That's what
or
I meant.
Put her down is what I was going to say. But
so
okay.
That's Evelyn.
How about that? How's this story going to end for her? I would love the medical perspective on this. There's no way that can end well for her.
You want to do something fun, go to YouTube and type in the search bar, My Strange Addiction, and you'll see drinking paint, eating a mattress, eating plastic bags.
Oh, I'm on that page. Obsessed with having a long neck, happily married to a carnival ride, a woman who eats
beast.
Bricks. Yeah, it's a good
beast.
Time right there.
It's good fun right there. It's My Strange Addiction on TLC Wednesdays.
You know how I love the weather.
You are obsessed with the weather.
I was so excited yesterday to be watching CNN all day for their blizzard coverage. It was awesome. This is Winter Storm Juno that was at one point thought to be one of the largest snowstorms ever recorded. It petered out in a lot of areas. Like, they only got about 14 inches of snow in most of New York City. Only 14 inches of snow, by the way.
But what were they saying? 3 feet?
Yeah, they were saying it could have been as much as, 30-plus inches. Some places like Cape Cod got over 18 inches of snow. It's still snowing, by the way. It's going to end up being over 2 feet of snow. Massachusetts is getting close to 2 feet of snow throughout the whole state. So it's still a huge storm. And what was crazy about the storm yesterday was the wind gusts. The wind gusts were between 60 and 80 miles an hour on top of snow falling at several inches per hour. That's whiteout conditions. Yeah. So states of emergency in eight states in New England, and they had travel bans, and they closed down the subway, and it was just a mess.
Can you name all the streets that are closed?
The way we first heard about this storm coming was our old friend Frankie McDonald, who does weather reports from his home in Nova Scotia, where, of course, they got their fair share of snow. We played a little bit of this for you yesterday.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Massive storm is headed towards Nova Scotia. Tuesday, January 27th, 2015, it's going to bring up to 20-plus centimeters of snow. Then it's going to change over to rain.
So that was Frankie yesterday in his report. We thought we'd get him on the phone today and find out maybe an update on how the storm is proceeding through Nova Scotia and what residents of the area can expect. Frankie, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. How are you doing in the snow? That's a hell of a lot of winter weather for you, son.
Massive blizzard. It's good in Nova Scotia. Massive blizzard. It's also made in Massachusetts. It's for Tuesday, January 27, 2015.
Right.
It will bring 50-plus centimeters of snow. It will bring blowing and drifting snow, especially in Boston, Massachusetts. There is a massive blizzard here, Brockton, Massachusetts, Springfield, Massachusetts. There will be zero visibility. It will bring blowing and drifting snow in the state of Massachusetts. Low pressure system will be intensifying, moving up the east coast of the United States. It will cause a lot of snow and very strong winds coming from the north, gusting to 100 kilometers per hour.
Okay.
Roads, streets, highways, interstate highways,
okay.
Roads, small roads,
all
side
right.
roads, back roads, will all be snow covered. Roads will be
Frankie.
Very dangerous. Massive blizzard. It'll be a ton of snow in the
Frankie.
State of Massachusetts and the east coast of the United States of America, New Jersey, Pennsylvania,
right.
Delaware. Massive blizzard. It was on Monday, January 26, 2015, during the nighttime hours. And people in Massachusetts and Delaware and Philadelphia and Pennsylvania are prepared to have your winter boots, your winter jackets, your hats, your gloves, your scarves,
right.
your ski pants ready.
Right.
Order your pizzas, your Chinese food. Buy cases of Pepsi and Coke.
Okay.
And Mountain Dew. If you like Mountain Dew, get Mountain Dew.
Right.
Do it now. Do it now.
Okay.
If you like grocery shopping, don't wait till the last minute. Do
okay.
it right now.
Okay.
You have your iPads charged, your cell phones charged, your iPads charged,
right.
your laptops charged.
Everything
your
charged.
Have
right.
your 3G internet ready. Have your 4G internet ready. Blizzard conditions, massive blizzard.
Okay.
Don't go outside. If you have to go outside and you're driving your car,
okay.
take
Frankie,
time
listen.
Driving your car. Slow down. So you don't get a car accident.
Okay.
Drink lots of green
That's
tea,
good
white tea,
uh-huh.
red tea. Need lots of green tea to keep you warm.
A lot of
Have
tea.
Your furnaces ready. Keep your furnaces on to keep your house warm.
Okay.
Have many blankets to keep yourself warm. Have
okay.
emergency kits, flashlights, candles, crank-up radio.
That's good advice, but
generators. Once the storm is over, you need shovels,
Let
snow
me just...
scoops, snow blowers, snow plows,
right.
snow trucks, prepare. Anyone living in Massachusetts or Pennsylvania, a massive
okay.
blizzard. Be prepared for the massive blizzard.
Okay.
But today, Tuesday,
Frankie.
January 27, 2015.
Okay,
take care. You. Stay safe. Don't get caught in the mad.
Okay.
Stay warm and be safe.
You're safe, though, right? There's nothing to panic about, right?
Yeah, I'm good.
KROQ.com is a destination location for you. Every day, we're always putting up great new stuff. It's not us. It's hardworking people behind the scenes. And they have debuted a new feature today that I think you're going to love. It's called Kevin and Bean Minimation. And what it is it's animated bits from the Kevin and Bean Show, the first of which... How far back do we have to go, Kevin, for Jimmy Eats the Bacon?
Late 90s?
Late 90s.
I think.
Hey, Lightning. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Late 90s. It's got to be like 15 years ago.
Yeah. We had McDonald's, and Jimmy, for some unknown reason, said, I'm going to put this up on a wall, and I'll eat it a year from now. And we were all like, okay, well,
yeah,
that's weird.
That's the round bacon that comes in the middle of the croissant, which or whatever the hell it is that...
Egg McMuffin or something.
Muffin,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we left it on the. It tells you everything you need to know about K-Rock. We left a piece of rotting meat
yeah.
on the wall for a year. And then when that date came, we said, hey, Jims, you're up. And sure enough, he ate it. And that has been animated. And you can see that, hear that, enjoy that at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It is up and it's very funny.
Not to ruin the surprise, but it doesn't taste very good. Just put that out there.
Speaking of Lightning, glad you're here, my man. You had an exciting day yesterday around the KROQ.com offices. I'm sure it seemed to you like it was business as usual. You were talking to somebody in Blink-182's camp about an upcoming appearance, right?
First off, at
a festival.
It's been nice working with you guys.
All right.
I appreciate you asking me in. This will be the last time I'll be on the air.
Yeah, we don't get that, but go ahead. This is on us.
You sure about
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Okay, so
what
okay.
happened? So the 8th
right,
annual
so, yeah,
Musinc
so,
Music and Tattoo Festival was coming up. Blink-182 is yeah. supposed to be playing. So you were doing your due diligence to get that information together so you could put a post up at KROQ.com. What
Correct.
Went wrong? How,
yeah,
did,
well,
how,
so,
did, how did you end up breaking up the band over
well,
the course of an hour?
We got a release that Blink-182 would be headlining day number two with Matt Skiva from Alkaline Trio,
right.
which is kind of curious, you know. But we do know that Tom's got a lot going on with all of his projects. So it wasn't too far out of the ordinary.
Right.
And we put that out there. And shortly thereafter, I got a call from a longtime friend of mine
mm-hmm.
who's the band's publicist.
Okay.
And said, oh, I'm sending you something special. This is a release about Tom DeLonge quitting the band. And I said, what?
Okay.
All right,
let me just interrupt. I'm sorry, Lightning. I just want to make this clear. So your original thought when you heard that somebody would be filling in for Tom at this show coming up in town was...
Happens.
Tom's just unavailable, so they've got a musician filling in, just like they have somebody else drum when Travis can't make it.
Correct.
You thought it was business as usual for the band. He just wasn't going to make this date.
Just a one-off. Right.
Now you're being told Tom's leaving the band, and it's Splitsville.
Yes, and I'm and the word on the phone was quit.
Okay.
But in the press release, it says leaving indefinitely. The word is indefinitely.
Right.
Okay?
Which so, is, by the way, isn't that exactly how they broke up 10 years ago or
that's,
whatever?
Yeah, in 2005.
Exactly.
And that's what we thought. Yeah. In my division in New York, who are better writers than I am, they read the same thing. I shipped the press release to them, and they said, quits. It's quits. And, you know, it's
splitting
hairs.
Let me just say this,
hairs.
Too. Right. It's not a surprise. It has happened before. It's not
right.
a surprise.
Right.
Everybody knows Tom wants to go do his own thing.
Right.
Everybody knows he's not totally into Blink. I don't think any of this is a surprise.
Right. So we put it out there. We're the first. We break the news
right.
that he has quit the band.
What happened 20 next?
Minutes later, 30 minutes later, all hell breaks loose, and there's a problem with the word quit. And I'm hearing it from various sides. This you can't, it's indefinitely. He hasn't left the band. Then I get a call that says, no, he quit the band.
Okay.
So I'm getting a call from one side of the family, from the wife, saying, no, Daddy's leaving the family.
Right.
Dad, this is – he hasn't been here
Wait,
in,
so Tom
in 2 years.
Wait, so Tom is Daddy?
Tom is Daddy.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mark and Travis, your mommy, just in this case right here. And here's the thing. We
– But then how did it – did he post – did Tom post on Instagram? Is that what happened? He didn't quit
this. This is much later in the day.
Okay.
So that hours go by and there's this – there's a cloud swirling over my office and it's just raining on me just hell, which is because people are upset with – how could we put this out there with this wrong information? He hasn't quit the band, but nothing has come from Tom yet, and he hasn't made a statement.
Right.
Okay, so all we know is that two-thirds of the band has said that he's quit.
Right.
Then Tom finally does come out and say, I didn't quit the band. He goes on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter and says, I did not quit the band. There was some confusion over press releases, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so then you thought, all right.
And now I said,
fine. Right,
now I'm super screwed because I wrote that he quit. And now he says he didn't. Now everyone
that's not
that was
ideal.
Mad now everyone that was mad at me has a right to be mad at me that I wrote quit. Okay?
Hey, Mike, at that point,
do you think that the difference between quit and leaving indefinitely is a legal matter that has something to do with the finances of the band?
It's
a good question.
It's definitely above my pay grade, yes.
Okay.
And
because they do essentially mean the same thing. If Tom DeLonge's not going to be participating in upcoming Blink-182 stuff, it doesn't matter what the terminology is, but it may matter in terms of what cut he gets.
I agree with that. Absolutely. It could mean that it leaves him the ability to come in at some point.
They were talking about recording new music. They had a studio book. They were going to do it in the beginning of January, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then
yes.
What happened with that? They hadn't started yet. They were supposed to start like on the 4th or 5th?
Yeah, right. Well, we didn't exactly know any of this stuff that happened behind the scenes that was leading all up to this.
Right,
we do now. We do now. And so Tom posts us that I didn't quit.
Okay.
All right. So now Mark and Travis insist through their publicist that he did quit, and they called up to be on the air with Stryker.
Okay. So they did an interview with Stryker.
Yes, they did.
Saying they're still in Blink. Tom is not.
And they gave – and Mark broke down a timeline.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is what you can now read on Rolling Stone because we didn't air the interview.
Okay. What interview?
Exactly.
Right.
So
because promises were made that were above our pay grade.
Yeah. We didn't want to be between mom and dad in this fight, and we decided to take the high road and not be part of it.
Since when?
I'm just saying that's the decision.
High road does not equal high road.
We are not high road people.
I agree 100%. And so – I respect that decision that was made,
as
difficult it was for me personally.
Let me just say this, too, is that we all love Blink-182.
Yeah.
We love their music. They've been a huge part of K-Rock. We also love those guys.
Absolutely.
We love
personally.
Travis. We love Mark. We love Tom. And so we don't want it to break up. We don't want it to – we don't have any interest in stirring up trouble.
No. I would much rather announce that they've got a new record.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay.
So then – we can't play the interview.
We can't play it.
All right.
And Mark – so I'm left still with I still printed all the wrong stuff. No one knows the truth. Blah blah blah. And Mark and Travis went to Rolling Stone, which is we have excerpts on krock.com, which you can read, or you can read the whole thing how it broke down.
Right.
But then he basically went word for word what he told Stryker.
Wow.
I love Mark.
And that's all up there. And
I love Mark as well. But I will say this: yesterday, you know, when it was all breaking, I just wanted to know what Travis says.
Right.
I just feel like
– because he's the rock-solid guy.
You're going to get the truth, and it's not going to be polished. It's just going to be Travis being cool and saying, look, here's the deal. That's all I cared about.
The guys were both very level-headed.
Yeah.
And as respectful as they could have been to their bandmate, they really, really were. And I think he was even a little more heated by the time that he got to Rolling Stone.
Sure.
And at that point, we realized that, okay, they 100% feel that this guy has quit the band.
Right.
And not only had they feel like he has quit, but they were pushing him further away. They just wanted – they want a resolution, I think. And that's what he was looking for.
Because they feel like they've been spending a lot of time waiting for him. They've had studio time booked. They've been wanting to write songs. They've been wanting to do a lot of things that he won't participate in. Let me read this quote from Travis from the Rolling Stone article, and you can see excerpts of this and more of what Lightning found out yesterday at KROQ.com. It's hard to cover for someone who's disrespectful and ungrateful. Again, talking about Tom. You don't even have the balls to call your bandmates and tell them you're not going to record or do anything Blink-related. You have your manager do it. Everyone should know what the story is with him, and it's been years with it. When we did get back together after my plane crash, we only got back together. I don't know, maybe because I almost died. But he didn't even listen to mixes or masterings from that record. He didn't even care about it. Why Blink even got back together in the first place is questionable. So it sounds like this was a tenuous reunion at best for the past few years, and now it sounds like it's busted.
Yeah.
But you know what? If Tom's miserable in that position, then he should move on.
He sure doesn't have to be in Blink-182 if he doesn't want to be. I wish he did, though.
You know, I do, too. I wish he wanted to be. That's best-case scenario.
Because he's a major, major part of that band.
But you also can't blame a person for not wanting to be in that situation if that doesn't make him happy. So, okay, move on. But
absolutely.
I just think he's not ready to fully sever ties. I don't know. I'm not in Tom's
head. Could be legal.
Head.
We don't know. But
it could be a lot of things, correct? I just... I want to see Mom and Dad back together.
Well, you can see everything we know up to this point at KROQ.com right now. And, of course, you'll be continuing to follow this story. And the next time someone calls and gives you information and then yells at you about that information, Lighty, you'll put that up as well, right?
Absolutely. Of course
well
I
done,
will.
Well sir.
Good work. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Actor Daniel Day-Kim from TV's Hawaii Five-0 joins us next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll catch up with our friend Matt Fowler. He wants to talk about the WWE. Look, I don't know anything about the WWE, but I do know that when The Rock is being booed, something's going wrong with that sport. I do
You've upset the nerds.
Apparently so. Anyway, we'll talk to Matt and find out what's up with that, why so many people are trying to cancel the WWE network as a result of what happened over the weekend. That's on the way. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
I'm not into fantasy sports. So I won't be resting.
This is
that
a
break.
Fictional sport they're all upset about.
That's right.
Yes, they are.
Fictional.
I'm going to cancel CBS because that on that CSI New Orleans episode, Scott Bakula shot 6 bullets out of a 5.
That's it.
Cartridge cylinder.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Come on, WWE people.
And Vince, better stop.
Who's still watching the WWE, by the way?
Millions
in the 21st
of people.
Century.
Millions of people, Ralph.
That's been my question. Since
there are real sports. It's
yeah,
exists,
since
right?
UFC, I don't understand how one person still watches WWE.
It's incredibly popular. You guys know that.
Yeah, we do. It's crazy.
Listen to this fan. Vince, better start firing some writers and start listening to what the fans are saying.
That's right. Yeah, Vince.
Anyway, let's see what Matt says coming up.
By the way, congratulations to former California governor and occasional actor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's getting inducted into the WWE's Hall of Fame.
Just in time.
At a ceremony on March the 28th. To take any sort of credibility away from the WWE. Did he ever wrestle once, anytime, ever?
I
sure don't know.
I was never a WWE fan, so I don't know, but I don't remember him.
He's going into the Hall of Fame.
Huh. Well, then he must have.
He's going into the celebrity wing along with Mike Tyson, Donald Trump, Drew Carey, Pete Rose, and Bob Uecker.
Oh, so these are people who make an appearance on it because they're a celebrity.
I guess.
And fight somebody, supposedly.
Or yell at someone.
Bob or manage Uecker? Somebody, maybe.
Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside. That guy.
Yeah, he weighs like 140 pounds.
So these are people that were doing guest spots on a fictional
fight show.
People
who showed up during a fictional sport. Well, congratulations.
That is all good.
Hey, we got some interesting casting news. Big career move for Caio Scodelario.
Oh, here she is great.
She is great, by the way. She is the female lead in Maze Runner.
Yes.
Okay.
She is stunning, and she is charming, and she is now the female lead in the next Pirates of the Caribbean film, Dead Men Tell No Tales. She'll be joining Johnny Depp for the 5th installment of the franchise. No word on whether Orlando Bloom will return, so she might be the only woman in it. Orlando Bloom doesn't come back.
I liked her in that Maze Runner.
Yeah,
what's your level of interest in another Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
All interest.
Yeah, I like it too.
Oh, love that franchise.
Even after you've seen 4 of them, you still feel like you're excited about seeing another one.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I can finally understand what somebody in a movie is saying. I can understand.
Because it talks like you. Uh-huh. Have some rum. Sorry, I didn't deserve that.
British Kevin. Fox is talking about putting together a live-action X-Men TV series. Boy, they're going to milk these franchises. These are the only superheroes they got. They're going to milk them, baby. They got the Fantastic Four. They got X-Men. They got, that's it. They got those. They're just going to milk them. So, I'm not sure I need an X-Men TV series.
It depends
the
on
movies
who,
are great. I enjoy the films.
It depends on who does it, right?
I mean, yeah, I suppose. But, yeah. Have you seen they got the new trailer out for the Fantastic Four movie finally? A teaser trailer.
I have not seen that.
Today it just dropped. So, go take a look at that and see what you think. I'm not...
not excited?
Not excited.
No.
We'll see. Congratulations to Edward Norton and Shauna Robertson. They are the proud parents of a 22-month-old toddler. We're just finding out about it now.
What?
Yeah, they have a 22-month-old, yeah. But they kept it under the radar. We didn't even know they had a baby.
Oh, I think they're just finding out about it.
Yeah, they just found out they
had a baby. Didn't make sense to me either.
22 months later, we're finding out about it. They've known for some time that they've had a baby.
Got it.
We're now just understanding it. And we've got the kid's name. Congratulations to Atlas Norton. Atlas Norton.
All right. He's not going to get beat up a lot.
Not at all. A lot of people are going to ask him for directions, I'm guessing.
Wow.
Can I see a map of Norway, please, Atlas? He was a Greek god, I believe Atlas was.
Yeah. I think that's right, yes.
Yeah.
Or if not a Greek god, he was a Titan.
Yeah.
I think he used to hold the world up, didn't he? Didn't
that's right. He's the one.
Wasn't that Atlas's job?
Yeah. That was Atlas, yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Congratulations to Mike Patton. Faith No More lead singer. He is 47 years old today. By the way, Faith No More ready to release its first studio album in 18 years.
No kidding.
Why so soon?
Hmm.
Band's website says there's no title yet, but you can look for it in May on the group's own label, Reclamation Records. Apparently a new single, Superhero, will be released as a 7-inch limited edition vinyl 45 on March the 17th, followed by a digital download on March the 31st. Faith No More has also announced a North American tour. Begins in Vancouver on April the 15th, and then ends later that night in Vancouver.
That's a short tour.
I'm kidding. See, that would just be one
show. See, because that's one show.
Yeah. I like Faith No More.
I do, too.
I'll be interested to hear their new music.
It's been a while.
Chris Collinsworth, football analyst, is 56 years old today, as is ESPN's Keith Olbermann. He is also 56. Alan Cumming turns 50. Patton Oswalt. Our good friend and one of the funniest people on the planet Earth is 46 years old today.
And get his new book, by the way,
yeah.
If you're at all interested in either film or comedy. It is terrific.
Great book.
Get it at PattonOswalt.com.
Rosamund Pike celebrates her 36th birthday. And UFC lightweight champion Anthony Pettis celebrates his 28th birthday. Oh, Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon also celebrates 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How does this sound, by the way? U2 in Barcelona, Spain. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 3. You can listen to K-Rock all week long, including this morning and every day this week at 9 a.m. for your tickets to go see the band at the Forum, and then get on the standby boarding list to see them again in Barcelona. I've been to Barcelona, by the way. It's an amazing city.
Yeah. Dying to go.
Dying to go. So awesome.
Must go.
Hey, our friend Matt Fowler is on the phone from IGN.com. He is the guy that we go to whenever we see a wrestling story bubble up that we don't understand. Matt, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Great, thanks. How are you guys?
What is going on in your world, dude?
Sounds bad. Sounds dangerous.
This is the second year in a row now that this has happened at the Royal Rumble, this pay-per-view event that happens in January.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it's not the case of a villain winning. Nobody thinks it's a sport where people are upset about the storyline. It's just like, you know, a TV show. Think of it in those terms. The wrong hero won. That's what's going on. The hero who the fans really like more than all the other heroes was eliminated from this match early. The guy that the WWE is grooming to be the next big star won. He's also The Rock's cousin. And people were sour on the whole night after their hero was eliminated early, and it just led to a big booze at the end. And this happened last year, too.
Well, it sounds like it really got out of control and started picking up steam on social media with the hashtag #CancelWWE Network. Can you explain to us, for people who don't know any of the personalities involved, why one hero was so much more preferable than the other?
Okay. So just to clarify one thing, they don't want to cancel the network. The Cancel WWE Network hashtag was cancel your subscription. Okay. TV network.
All right.
So that, so if people were upset, they were trying to get them to use their sort of like their one voice they might have, which is their dollars they spend per month on the WWE network.
So gotcha. in this fake fight, the wrong guy won, and everybody's upset enough that they want to stop,
not support this sport anymore.
Right. Well, how did you guys feel about the last season of Dexter or the finale of Dexter? And
yeah, but that. But hold on. That was the finale of Dexter. So you knew that was the last one. It's not like it was going to come back for another season, and everybody said, "Let's stop watching."
But I'm sure you could probably, Kevin, think of something on Sons of Anarchy that if it had gone a certain way, it would have made you very upset. I'm not saying people are canceling. You know, online fury gets out of control. Who knows if people are actually canceling their subscriptions?
Right, exactly. I'm sure a lot of it is just their way to interact with other fans and discuss their displeasure with the events. But what I'm trying to figure out is why do they have such a preference over one guy versus the other if they're both good guys?
I'm trying to think of it so you're watching The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And pretend in the first 5 minutes of an episode, Daryl, who I think the consensus is he's the most popular character on the show.
Yeah, if Daryl dies, we riot.
Right.
Right.
He gets killed off in the first 5 minutes randomly by a walker who just bites him on the neck.
Okay.
Okay.
And little fanfare is made about it. It's a very unceremonious death. And the producers, you know, you ask them about it, and they're like, oh, it was just his timing, but he was so popular. Oh, well, we didn't see it.
Gotcha. You know, in other words, you would feel that they didn't treat the character with the respect he deserved. Like, he deserves a more glamorous death. He deserves to die for something like saving the rest of the group or something.
So a lot of it had to do with how Daniel Bryan, that's the name of the guy that the fans really liked over the other guy. Not that the other guy, Roman Reigns, didn't have fans.
So we hate Daniel Bryan?
But they like Daniel Bryan.
We like Daniel Bryan. Okay.
Right. And the way he was eliminated was very flat, very, you know, matter of fact. And it was done early in the match, which lasts about an hour.
Right.
Because they knew fans would be upset, and they wanted people to give people time to cool down before Roman Reigns won at the end. But that didn't work.
Gotcha.
You're a smart guy who follows this closely. Why do you think they made the decision they did?
Well, they really want to push Roman Reigns as, you know, the next John Cena. They're looking for a next big, big star.
Right.
Do media rounds and do all that stuff. And he's got the look. He's big. And they want to push him into the winner of this match goes on to the main event of WrestleMania. Coming up in a few months.
Sure.
So Roman Reigns is going to be in the main event of WrestleMania now, and people were objecting to that. And Roman Reigns isn't as exciting, say, verbally on the microphone. He needs a lot of work still, cutting promos and doing a lot of that stuff. His ring work needs a little work. Daniel Bryan is the underdog. People have been behind him for a couple of years now. He was the guy who people were upset about last year, when he wasn't even put into the Royal Rumble, and fans booed the Royal Rumble almost the entire time.
Gotcha.
And
that's fantastic.
So much so that, fans basically willed him into the main event of WrestleMania last year.
Matt, why was The Rock booed? Isn't he the most popular wrestler of all time?
His cousin, Bean.
Right. He came out, and they had him come out at the end because they knew Roman Reigns was going to have a hard time getting the cheers after Daniel Bryan was eliminated. They came out to give Roman Reigns a little extra boost. People are going to be cheering for The Rock and Roman Reigns as they both beat up the bad guys at the end. But people were still so sour on Roman Reigns. And the fans in Philadelphia that night, they're smarter than that, and they know when they're kind of being tricked. And they're like, oh, The Rock's here because they want us to cheer Roman Reigns.
Gotcha. So you don't mess with the smart fans of the WWE.
So are the fans playing right into the WWE's hands because this is the first plot line that we've been aware of or talked about in a long time? I mean, does it kind of work? This outrage has kind of, you know, created a little bit of bump, a little bit of interest in what's going on over there?
Possibly, you know, from the standpoint of any news is good news, any publicity is good publicity. But, you know, when you have Time Magazine and USA Today writing about how angry the fans were after this event, during a time when the WWE is trying to get people to subscribe to their network.
Right.
Like, that's really their drive. This is their season to do it now leading up to WrestleMania. I can't think that it's, you know, there's a silver lining. It's very slim.
Gotcha. Here's what I'd like to see, and here's how you get guys like Kevin and me interested in the WWE, is you pick any WWE fighter you want and put him in the octagon with Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Boom.
That's what you do. Now I'm tuning in.
Well, the WWE champion right now is Brock Lesnar. So
wow, okay. Wow, that's a comeback.
That could work.
That
could work, yeah.
I didn't realize that. Okay, this a little bit more UFC crossover than I expected.
Matt, you know this is going to be one of those things where like 4 years from now you're going to think back, what were we so upset about? That was insane.
Oh, of course, of course. And in fact, it'll be like that 2 weeks from now.
Okay, good.
Probably so. Well, thank you for bringing it into sharp focus for us, because frankly, I was very confused about it. You can follow Matt on Twitter, and you should, at TheMattFowler. And of course, the website is IGN.com, and he writes a lot of great stuff over there. We always appreciate your time, Matt. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thanks, guys.
Give me some of that best TV theme song of all time, would you please? Hawaii 5-0 airs Friday nights at 9 on CBS. We couldn't be more excited to welcome our friend Daniel Day Kim to the studio. He is Chin Ho Kelly at Hawaii 5-0. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. Good. It's so good to see you. It's weird to see you in Los Angeles, man. You should be fighting crime in the islands right now.
I know, right? It's weird to be here. You know, for the entire time I lived in L.A., K-Rock was my favorite radio station.
Oh, really?
And I used to listen to you guys all the time.
Did you know that Bean named one of his pets after your character?
Really?
After the character on Hawaii 5-0, Chin Ho.
What's the what's
tell him the, tell him the full name, Dean, because the full name
well,
for your dog is insane.
I'm a little older than you, Daniel, so maybe you didn't grow up with the original Hawaii 5-0 like I did, but I was a huge fan of that show back in the day, and my favorite character was Chin Ho, played by the great Cam Fong. So my dog's name was Cam Fong as Chin Ho. That was my dog's full name, but of course we just called her Chin Ho. She lived to be 15 years old, and it was
he
just
and his dog.
Cam Fong as Chin Ho.
Cam Fong as Chin Ho.
And I hope there's somebody listening right now who will name his or her dog Daniel Day Kim as Chin Ho.
There you go. There you go. You're going to be an inspiration to someone.
So that was my tribute to the great Hawaii 5-0. And I got to tell you, I was one of those people who thought there was no way, no how that show needed to be remade. And I couldn't have been more wrong, because here you are 5 seasons later and you've got a huge audience and you're a big hit on CBS. So well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I can't believe that story.
It's crazy, right?
Amazing thing.
Yeah. Tell us about directing, because you directed this particular episode that you're working on, not the one that's going to air. When is it? Later in February?
Yeah, we're going to air, I guess, last week of February.
And so you've been on Hawaii 5-0 over this fifth season. Have you wanted to direct the whole time? Have you been hitting people up? Hey, I'd like to direct.
Yeah, it was actually something I was interested in doing during the last few seasons of Lost. But Lost was a very particular kind of show. And
did you try to put it out there? I'd like to direct.
Yeah,
I'd like to direct.
I actually shadowed a couple directors when I was working on Lost. And then, you know, with 5-0. After a few seasons, I put it out there here, and our executive producer, Peter Lenkoff, was really open to the idea, and he gave me a chance to give it a try.
Is this the first directing you've ever done?
No, I've directed stage, and I've directed a music video, but this is the first thing on TV I've ever done.
And this is a big deal to direct a show with so many moving parts, with all the action scenes, with so many different actors, so many different locations, with cars and everything. I mean, this isn't like directing just two people sitting in a diner.
Yeah, what's crazy is, you know, our show does have a lot of two people sitting in a diner when it comes to McGarrett and Dano doing their arguments. And then we have massive stunts every week. You know, one of the, I think, the best parts of our show is the size and scale of our stunts that we do on a weekly basis. We blow up cars, we're, you know, terrorizing cities. It's, you know, who would have thought?
Hawaii is the most dangerous place ever.
Exactly.
If you watch Hawaii 5-0. Now what is it like to have the other cast members that you work with to talk to them in the director's position? Do they go, shut up, Daniel. You're one of us.
Exactly. No, I was actually, you know, I was expecting a lot of hazing.
I was expecting
just like a lot of stuff where they just give me a hard time. But, you know, to their credit, they were fantastic. And, you know, I think it was more awkward for me to kind of, you know, try and give them direction because, you know, when you're an actor, you just don't step on each other's toes.
It's not the kind of thing where you go, hey, I'd like to give you some advice. That just never happens.
Pretty much, right. You know, so it was the first time I had to yell action and cut and, you know, give a direction. It was really...
Did you feel like a fraud?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I had to get into some new skin or something.
Like, when are the adults going to come in and realize I'm not in control?
Exactly.
Did you direct yourself? Are you in some of the scenes that you shot?
I did act in the episode, so I
was... A lot of close-ups?
Exactly.
A lot of glam shots? Yeah,
no one else is in the scenes that I'm in. It's just all me. It's funny how that worked out. It was interesting because, you know, I had my head in director mode, and I would have to go on camera, and I couldn't remember my lines.
How much more difficult is directing than acting, or is it just different?
It's different. You know, like, acting as a craft is, you know, it's limitless into how far you can kind of keep learning and keep going. But, you know, in the scope of a production, it's only one element. It's a very important element.
Right.
But, you know, the thing I learned as a director was how much more goes into an episode of TV than just what the actors do, you know. That said, I appreciate what actors do even more because... You know, when an actor is prepared and comes in and brings something to the material, you see how it comes to life, you know. You can have the greatest set, you can have the best crew, but if the actors don't want to come to work, you know.
Or if they're flat really that day much. Or whatever.
Exactly. But the other thing I realized was how much preparation goes into directing. You know, most of your work is done before you ever come to the stage.
Okay, so before day one, how much work? Are you talking a couple of weeks? Are you talking a month?
I worked a few weeks. You know,
a couple of weeks. Full time.
Full. You know, any time I had that I wasn't shooting, I was starting to prep. I was starting to think about the show. I was starting to visualize the show. I mean, pretty much directing is like when you close your eyes and you picture a scene, you have to picture every detail of every scene. And then you're able to start thinking about how to work with the actors. Exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing. How difficult is it to shoot in Hawaii in terms of the room that the residents give you to work? Because you're in real neighborhoods and real stores and real businesses.
We're really lucky that the people of Hawaii are so welcoming to us. You know, we go into people's homes, like you said, on a weekly basis. We go into businesses all the time. And we actually name the businesses that we go into. A lot of them aren't fictionalized. So the fact that they allow us to trample on, you know, their nice floors and kind of move around their furniture, we're really lucky.
Do you have to deal with that as a director at any point in this episode? You have to go talk to the locals and get them to calm down or step up or stop looking at the camera? Or...
We always have a really healthy group of audience members at every location we go to.
And I'm sure.
Yeah, so they're really cooperative. And, you know, every once in a while they get a little overexcited, but, you know, it's all good.
Sure. I was wondering about this with Hawaii 5-0 and also with Lost. When the show is so popular, I mean, even tourists want to come and find you guys, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's nice. You know, on my Twitter feed, once in a while, I'll get questions about where we're shooting. And, you know, I caught you guys here. Are you guys going to be over here today? And, you know, it's nice that, you know, one of the reasons people come to Hawaii is to come see us.
Do you ever get rained out?
You know, we really haven't, you know, very much. I mean... I guess like 6 or 7 years ago in Hawaii, there was 40 days of rain, continuous days of rain. I mean, I think, you know, Noah was starting to build his ark. Yeah. But, but, you know, we shot through all of that. And then during Hawaii 5-0, it's been pretty good weather. So,
Kauai the rainiest place in the world?
It's really rainy. We shoot on Oahu, and we shoot on the south shore of Oahu, where it's relatively dry. But Kauai, yeah, when it rains there, it's no joke.
Daniel Day Kim is our guest in studio here on The Kevin DeMean Show. He plays Chin Ho Kelly in Hawaii 5-0. It airs Friday nights at 9 on CBS. We're going to take a break. He's directing an episode that airs at the end of February. And I would just like to say, as we take a break here, fewer clothes on Grace Park, more on Jorge Garcia. That's my wish for you for this episode that you're directing. Would you take that advice, please?
I'll let them know.
I had that exact same thought.
All right, we'll be right back on K-Rock. Having some fun now with our friend Daniel Day Kim from Hawaii 5-0. He is Chin Ho Kelly on the show. It airs Friday nights at 9 on CBS. Daniel's just telling us stories about his early days in L.A. listening to K-Rock. It's amazing. It's so weird to think back to those times, the Smiths and Depeche Mode and New Order and all that stuff, isn't it, Daniel?
It is. And like when Depeche Mode would come play L.A., you guys were all over it. And that was a huge event.
I think the best light show I ever saw was Depeche Mode at Dodger Stadium. And there was a huge thunderstorm in the background. I was like, this might be the most awesome moment ever.
Wow.
It was so cool.
With their soundtrack, it would have been.
Who does Dave Gahan know to pull those strings?
Yeah.
Did you move to L.A. to become an actor?
I did. I was living in New York, and I just finished getting my degree in in acting, and I wanted to start making some money because I was doing theater in New York and making zero. So I came out to L.A., and that's when I discovered K-Rock.
How long was the process from the time you got to L.A. until you got an actual solid gig?
You know, I was doing that thing, like, everyone thinks that, you know, Lost was an overnight success for me, but I was doing that thing where I was doing guest stars and then recurrings on a bunch of shows. I think at one time I was doing three or four different recurrings on TV.
Really?
Yeah, on different series.
I'm going to blow people's mind by just throwing out some of these names, by the way. CSI Crime Scene Investigation, Charmed, Star Trek Voyager, Walker, Texas Ranger. These are all shows that you were on. Fantasy Island, Ally McBeal, The Practice, Seinfeld, NYPD Blue, Beverly Hills 90210. I mean, you were hustling, man.
Yeah, I was trying to do my thing, like every actor in L.A. And, you know, I was lucky enough to kind of keep working and keep working, and it all built up to, you know, Lost. And that was a huge break for me, for sure.
And when you get on a show like Lost, you become overnight famous, right? Like instantly recognizable because it's the talk of the nation.
Yeah, no, that was a phenomenon. Like, because we were shooting on an island, you know, 2,500 miles away, we didn't know the impact that the show was having here on the mainland until we came back about 3 months after it started airing. And when we all came back as a cast for an event, that's when we saw how big the show had gotten.
Did it drive you crazy that everybody wanted to know details? What's really going on? Like, you can only be asked that so many times, I'm sure, before you start getting frustrated about
it. It was what's really going on, and do you know what's going to
right.
happen?
Right.
And you know people don't really want to know. They don't really want it to be spoiled, right?
Well, that's exactly what I used to say. I said, yeah. Do you really want to know? Don't you want to watch it? I would.
Okay, but 10 years later, what happened?
Because I'm still confused.
Occasionally, I still get the person coming up to me saying, what did happen?
I will tell you this, though, and maybe I shouldn't admit this because this makes me sound stupid, Daniel, but I remember the first time that we had you on as a guest from the Kevin Bean Show, and we, you know, like many people, we were obsessed with Lost. We had almost every cast member on Lost throughout the years that you guys were on the air. But the first time we had you on, I remember us going, I hope his English is okay. I'm nervous because yeah, remember how little English you spoke on the show in the early years, right? Because your character didn't know any, right? And, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I hope, does he have a translator? Are we going to be able to understand what it is? And then you get on the phone and you're like, hey, Kevin and Bean, what's going on, man? How you doing? Good to talk to you. Hey, it's a pleasure. Nice to be here. And we were like, what? It was such a surprise to us because what the hell did we know?
Well, I'll take that as a compliment that you believed my character.
We did.
Thank you.
We did.
We certainly did. All right. Hawaii Five-0, we mentioned the episode that you've directed is coming out at the end of February on the 27th. That's why you're in town editing it. The show airs Friday nights at 9. But you've got something else going on that is awesome, which is you are in Insurgent, which is the sequel to the film Divergent. What can you tell us about that? I know probably not much.
I can tell you that it was a great time. We shot in Atlanta, and the cast and crew were fantastic. It was, you know, I've worked on the same show for 5 years, and I'm having such a great time there. But then to go to a different set and, you know, have a new feeling, a new chemistry, a new group of people to work with, it was really something else. Shailene Woodley and Theo James are great to work with, and they set a great tone for the entire
show.
She's
a little nutty, isn't she?
I think she's great.
I do too.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's a little crazy.
You know, she's in the eye of the storm right now.
She
with her career, and you know, in a great way, and she's handling it so well.
It's amazing, though, the caliber of actors that these, you know, young adult franchises used to kind of be the stepsister of Hollywood, but now they're the main event. You know what I mean? These movies are so well respected now. The fact that you get Oscar winners like Kate Winslet, Naomi Watts, and people like Octavia Spencer and Maggie Q, I mean, just great. Miles Teller.
Daniel Day Kim.
Well,
thank you, sir.
Sometimes they just fill in where they have to. But I mean,
exactly.
The caliber of actors that you get for movies like this, did you interact with like Kate Winslet, for instance?
I didn't, but, you know, I met Octavia Spencer, and we kind of fanboyed for a second.
How you can know? You not?
Yeah, and you know, but you're absolutely right. Like, so many high caliber actors are joining these casts, and you know, they're actors I'd love to work with any day of the week.
How does the set feel different than the Hawaii Five-0 set? I'm sure it's just bigger in scope.
It is, and you know, I love the pace of a movie set. You know, we shoot, you know, 50 something pages in 8 days, which leads to about what, you know, 8 to 12 pages a day. They shoot 3.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It sounds like it might almost be on the boring side.
No. Well, you know, it depends on how you work. You know, if you're used to a TV pace where you get in and, you know, don't like rehearsal and you just want to shoot, it'll probably be boring. But if you want to explore your character a little bit, find the scenes on the day, it's really, you have the luxury of time to do that.
Who is Jack King? What can you tell us about him?
He is the leader of a faction in the story. If you remember the story, or if you don't know the story, people are separated into castes or factions. And, you know, depending on what your, predilection, what your personality type is, you'll go into this particular grouping. And I am the leader of a faction called Candor. And they're a group that always tells the truth.
Wow.
they see the world in black and white, and all my wardrobe is black or white.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. See what you did there? Well, I just would like to say you should be in the dreamy cast, Daniel. That's what I'd like to say.
Wow.
Wow.
You want his number?
I kind of do.
All right. We're sharing a moment.
March 20th is when Insurgent is in theaters. Hawaii 5-0 airs Friday nights at 9 on CBS. How often do you get out to Los Angeles?
Once every month, once every couple of months or so. I've been coming out more recently. I've been producing some things, and so I get a chance to come out.
This guy's unstoppable.
Yeah, you have a couple of pilots, right, on other networks?
No, actually, I have a deal with CBS, yeah. And so we have a couple of shows that are waiting to hear.
Would you consider yourself a mogul? You just used that word.
The only mogul I think about is when I ski, and there's a big bump in my way.
Yeah, that's very different.
So,
that's not the same.
Well, you are turning into the king of Hollywood. I hope you remember us little people when you make it big, man.
Exactly how I think of myself. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed seeing you, Daniel.
Hey, great to see you guys.
Thank you. Madness. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Petrus Papadakis joins us right after the top of the hour, along with Ralph Garman. It's time for the Bachelor Report, because it's Tuesday. First, though, here's the showbiz news.
Good batch last night.
Yeah?
Strong batch.
That lady still weeping about her dead husband?
Well, we'll tell you what happened with the suicide girl. Suicide blonde, as I like to call her.
Sure.
Hey, how about tickets?
Yes.
All right, then. Here you go.
I thought you meant for...
I probably should give them to the listeners instead of you, though. I have passes to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending.
Yay!
By now, I'm sure you've seen the commercials. Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum, Eddie Redmayne. What a cast. It's about the human race was born off-planet, and they're coming back to get us, and there's a tyrant who wants Earth, and nuh-uh. Says Channing Tatum.
Does he say nuh-uh?
I'm not sure if that's an actual quote from the film or not, but if you'd like to see the premiere of Jupiter Ascending, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers, I'm going to send you to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending Monday, February the 2nd at the TCL Chinese Theater. And if you don't win tickets, don't despair, because the movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 6th. Call me now.
We'll get right back to you.
We won't get right back to you. It's not how we work. It's new release day. Want to give you a heads up what's available?
Yes, tell me.
George Ezra's CD, Wanted on Voyage. The new Papa Roach, F-E-A-R. That spells fear.
Yes.
But it's spelled with like periods after each letter, so it must stand for something. F-E-A-R. Okay.
It means a lot of fear.
Do I need the new Papa Roach, you guys?
Hell to the yeah.
Okay, all right.
Punch Brothers, The Phosphorescent Blues. Okay. On DVD, Fury. Brad Pitt.
I love that
movie.
He's
a tank commander in Fury. The Judge, Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. Book of Life, Channing Tatum. Zoe Saldana. TV shows on DVD, Downton Abbey Season 5. That's all available today. On Tuesday, new release day.
I watched like 5 minutes of that show. That's not for me.
Which one?
Downton Abbey? Oh, okay.
It's just so for you.
It just says, go away, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
It just goes, this is the opposite of what you'll
like. It's a good story. It's well written, well acted. What's not to like?
You should go anywhere else but here, it says. I hear it. I hear it in my head.
James Caan, the legendary actor. His son, of course, Scott Caan's on that Hawaii Five-O show with Daniel Day. He has really had it with his wife, Linda. He has filed for divorce for the third time in 10 years against this woman.
Wow.
Now he means it. Now it's business.
Did they go through with it the other two times?
No.
Oh.
But this third time's a charm, you know. He married Linda back in 1995. Three times they filed for divorce, but looks like this time it's for real. By the way, he was married three times before he married this girl. So this will be his fourth divorce if it does go through.
Wow.
James Caan and his wife always had difficulty deciding how to raise Buddy the Elf as their son. That was part of the problem, is they would always be tussling over that. He just didn't believe that Buddy was really one of Santa's elves.
Movie
but Elf. Mom was down with it.
Starring Will Ferrell. Put it in the file.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
With periods after every letter.
And there's another alleged victim of Bill Cosby who came forward. Cindra Ladd is her name, former entertainment executive and wife of Hollywood producer Alan Ladd Jr. Says she's not looking to sue or discuss the matter any further, but she thought it was important to come forward because it's the right thing to do and the truth deserves to be known. But she claims back in 1969, same year Cosby allegedly assaulted another victim, Joan Tarshis. She was given a pill for a headache by Cosby. Next thing she knew, she woke up butt naked in his bed. And Bill was wearing a white terry cloth bathrobe, acting as if nothing was unusual about it at all, that she woke up nude in his bed, having no memory of it.
Really sad.
Tragic. Telling you, people, believe the women. Today, celebrity birthdays. Chris Collinsworth, football analyst, 56 years old today. Keith Olbermann also turns 56 in the world of sports. Alan Cummings, 50. Faith No More singer Mike Patton is 47 years old today. They just announced a brand new album in the works after 18 years. Patton Oswalt is 46. Rosamund Pike is 36. Anthony Pettis of the UFC is 28. And Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon celebrates his 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! 6.7 K-Rock?
You don't know, man.
It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
The greatest time saver in radio is what you're about to hear for the next 5 minutes. We don't have to watch 2 hours of The Bachelor Monday nights on ABC because Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis do. It's time for The Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah. Girls crying, hallelujah. Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
I gotta tell you, Mark Ronson was in the building last week when we did this to visit a radio station.
Really?
And I went to Omar. I was like, "Dude, that's that played. He may have heard that."
Yeah. let's bring the P into the conversation here. Hi, Petros. Welcome, sir.
What's popping with you guys? Good morning.
Hey, Petros. Did you know that Disney is doing a live action version of Cinderella?
Yeah, I was able to gather that last night and.
A lot of commercials for that?
You know what? I got to be honest. They had like a crossover with like a Martin Lawrence movie a while back that was not as right of a fit.
Yes.
It seemed like this was, I mean, it was a good fit, but it was a tough watch. They tried to Disney us with a movie that they're trying to promote.
Mm. They bludgeoned us pretty hard for about an hour with that Disney movie. Come on.
Well, they made them dance. Okay, look.
They showed a clip of the movie while they were dancing.
The contestants were dancing,
yes.
They showed a clip of a movie?
They showed a clip of Cinderella dancing behind them while they were dancing.
And the worst part is I got fooled by that. You know, I'm watching and there's like a full symphony. There's this beautiful room. They go out onto a dance platform. They're doing the waltz. And I told my wife, I said, you know what, actually... And they had a full Philharmonic, you know, and I was like, you know what, that's actually pretty cool. And then 2 seconds later, look up on the screen, and God.
You guys deserve every bit of it.
Yeah, you're right.
But, I was surprised to see Jade, the cosmetics designer, there on the big date with him. She seems like she's got a lot going on.
Yeah, the sisters chose somebody good, you know, somebody empty-headed and dull and stupid.
Oh, come on.
Now, we started with how many girls and how many are we down to now?
Started with 30.
30, okay. 30?
Last night at the end of the show, I think we had 12 now.
Yeah, we have 12 left.
That's a lot of death on that show.
Well, they don't kill the ones that leave, Kevin. They just send them back to their hometown.
My understanding is death.
They turn them and burn them. And last night he had a big day with Jillian, the manster, the giant bodybuilder, Jillian.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting deal. Here's this chick who's like a little spark plug, all swole, looks like she's a fitness model, you know, probably prides herself on having no female friends and all male friends. And she won some date, but man, did she sabotage it. She never shut up about her workouts and her protein shakes.
She was death. She was just endlessly talking. And even Prince Farming, as he's known on the show, Chris, our bachelor from Iowa. Yes. He said while he was listening to her, he just would check out. He just couldn't bear listening to her endless stream of words. Here's a clip.
It's nice to listen every once in a while and not have the pressure of having to talk to someone.
This is really weird. So when I was little, my mom used to, like, compete, like, do, like, fitness stuff.
Yeah.
So when I started doing it.
When Jillian's talking, I become very confused because the words come out much faster than my mind can process.
I started looking better, and I was like, I'm kind of good at this.
Yeah.
So I started doing it on my own.
Occasionally, as Jillian's words begin to flow over my head, I begin to think of unicorns and dancing fairies. It's quite beautiful.
It's quite beautiful.
What's happening there?
That guy sounds confused a lot, Ralph.
He's an idiot.
He is not an idiot. How dare
you? He sounds like an idiot from that clip.
He's salt of the earth.
He is an empty-headed Iowa fool. But at least he knows it. I mean, at least he's not trying to act like he's smarter than most of these girls, because they're all smarter than him. But you know what, Ralph? I was surprised that he bounced her off the roof of the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. I thought for sure, because he had a terrible date with McKenzie, who asked him if he believed in aliens, and
that's
he kept
true.
That idiot.
That's
I thought
true.
He was going to keep this idiot.
Well, McKenzie's a little more cute. She's a little more charming. This girl is just a little rough, and she's always got her hairy ass hanging out of her bikini. They have to put a black box on her ass constantly because she keeps showing it off on the show.
But yeah, don't you think he wanted to get, like, a grip on that thing just to see how hard it was?
No, it's not worth
it. How much he could grip it, you know what I mean?
No, you have to deflate those balls in order to get a hand on it.
No, first you have to have a special rogue ball boy take the balls into the bathroom and deflate them in 90 seconds. It's acting alone like Lee Harvey Oswald under no instructions.
And then your favorite, Ashley I, the Kim Kardashian lookalike, she just could not stop telling people she was a virgin last night.
She sucks, man.
She's
man,
bad, right?
She sucks.
Is she that hot, though?
She's pretty hot.
She's
pretty
hot. I guess she thinks she's a lot hotter because she's a virgin.
Yeah.
But a few people pointed out different parts of her that they don't believe to be a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with them there. That's a Greek girl trick, by the way, Ralph. I don't want to get to.
Understood. Understood,
and
sir.
And Armenia, not too far apart, you know, both
sure.
Orthodox countries.
Sure,
and,
gotcha.
You know, just because you think you're a virgin in one place.
Yeah, we got
understood.
It.
We no, understood. We got it.
We understand
it.
The physiology
of it. Pretty
yeah.
clear on that, P. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think that I've been clear enough. Orifices, there's...
Yeah, we got it. Okay. Yeah,
we got it.
Yeah,
we got it.
Very
we got
clear.
It. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Ashley
well,
told...
I don't like her. She's annoying, and she won't shut up about being a virgin. And then she got burned. Because she's not the only virgin in the house.
Yeah, it's another virgin in the same. What are the odds two of these girls are virgins?
Do we believe either of them?
Well, what I would like to do is get a list of all their orifices.
All right.
We get it.
Okay.
We understand.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. We understand there's other ways.
Okay. All right. That should be a prerequisite. They should have, like, a form that they fill out.
Okay. But the truly sad news for me was that, first of all, the suicide blonde, he let her go. Julia, whose husband.
You had to bring up in excess.
whose husband killed himself after she had their baby. That was sad that she had
wow.
to go home.
But you know what? When you send a girl home whose husband killed himself right after she had a baby, he will walk you to the car.
He was. He did. He did a very
oh,
nice
that's
thing.
Nice.
He walked her to the car.
The crazy chick had to walk out by herself like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Ashley asked the truly crazy one. She went by herself, and she told the camera at the end, "I feel nothing. I feel nothing." She kept repeating that over and over again,
what does that
staring
mean?
Into the lens.
She's not upset?
I don't know, but I was terrified. It was like a horror movie at the end of that show last night.
So were we happy overall with the episode? Was it good?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Right.
I mean, not that I didn't love Jimmy Kimmel last week, but it made it a different show. It made it an actually intentionally funny show.
Right.
Yeah. And we're looking for the show to be unintentionally funny and horrible.
Exactly.
And we had a lot. We had a good camping trip. We had this really annoying, crying, idiot virgin girl who couldn't even tell him she was a virgin because he's too stupid
yeah.
to pick up a hint.
Yes.
And we had the crazy chick go home. We had the super swole chick get bounced when she was all confident. I mean, her best line was, "I haven't lifted in 4 weeks and I still smoke those chicks in the race."
I know.
Hey, do you guys think, as we say goodbye here, Pete, do you guys think that Bachelor Chris Soules will marry one of the ladies that he meets on this TV show?
He better, or
he's going to have to marry some militia member up in Iowa.
Okay.
I do think he will, because he's not kidding. There's nobody there in Iowa for him to marry. Mm. This is his best shot.
So he just has to pick one of the crazies and hold on?
Just hold on and spend a lot of time out in the back 40 and hope she doesn't burn the house down.
All right. You can listen for Petras on the Petras and Money radio show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570 this afternoon starting at 3. This has been this week's Bachelor Report.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
The very funny comedian and actor John Mulaney joins us coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has written for everything from The Kroll Show to Saturday Night Live to the Comedy Central Roast. He's got his own show, too, on Fox. First, though, Beer Mug. What's up, man?
Hey. How's it going?
Beer Mug took the Kevin and Bean microphone out of the street the other day. We had a conversation in the office about people who don't watch football. It all started because Ralph did a story about how actress Olivia Munn, who is dating Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, said that she had no idea who he was when she met him. And I don't know if you were, Kevin, I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I was.
Somebody, especially a celebrity, wouldn't know who Aaron Rodgers was, because to me, he's a celebrity. He's a pretty well-known guy. And then Lisa piped up, and unfortunately she's out sick today, but she piped up and she said, I wouldn't recognize Aaron Rodgers. I had no idea who he is or what he does or what he looks like or anything like that. And then we started talking about the people who don't watch football and how weird that must be to have, for instance, the Super Bowl coming up and it not even be on anyone's radar. If you don't follow football, you might not even know who's playing.
Yeah, but it seems like even if you don't like football, it's hard to avoid something this big.
I would think so, too. I mean, an example is, let's say you never go to the movies. You still hear that the Oscars are coming up and that there's a film called American Sniper and that there's a movie called Boyhood. At least you've heard of those things,
yeah, I would
right?
think so, yeah.
I would think so. So we thought it would be interesting to find out, on the street, random people who doesn't know who's playing in the Super Bowl. Like, for us, it's something we've all been following closely for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and can't wait for this Sunday. But Beer Mug, you went out on the street and just, like, person after person, whoever you ran into, you just put the microphone in their face, right?
Yeah, I went to Hollywood and Highland on Sunday because I figured that would be a good sample size for the nation, because there's a lot of tourists and there's a lot of people from other states visiting. So, and I just ambushed them, something that I've never done before. I just went right up to them and asked them the question
of
who's playing in the Super Bowl.
Now, how many people are represented here?
I did the first 26 people I saw.
26?
Yes.
Okay, that's a pretty small sample, and we don't know anything about them, but like you said, we're going to just assume that they're kind of random people, kind of all ages and races and sexes and the whole deal.
I did not discriminate.
All right. Now, what are we guessing? We're guessing if they get both of them? Both teams?
Sure.
Okay, both teams.
What? How many people out of 26 random on the street can name both teams playing in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with 50%.
So you're expecting 13 will get it right. I think that's high.
Thanks.
Man.
I was doing the math.
I think that
it's
is high.
You think that's high? I thought that was low.
I think that's high.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, again, you know, we live and breathe the NFL. A lot of people don't care about it. Like, I don't think my wife would know who's in the Super Bowl if she didn't live in a house with a crazy Seahawks fan, for instance. You know, I don't
think
she watches
Seattle
care.
TV ever. You know what I mean? Like, shit, that would have to.
You would see it on the news or something. Yeah. Okay. I'll go a little bit less. I'll say 10.
10.
I'll say 10 out of 26. How about you, Chip? You want to guess?
I have it in front of me, so I can't guess.
Okay.
She has the
All
results.
Right. You recuse yourself. All right. So 13 or 10. Those are the guesses. So 26 random people, Hollywood and Highland. Beer Mug asked who's in the Super Bowl. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, Seattle and New England Patriots.
The Hawks.
And?
Patriots.
Do not follow football.
Oh. No, because I'm a foreigner.
Sorry, I don't speak English.
Do you watch American football?
No.
Do you know which two teams are playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday?
Nope.
Yes, Seattle and New England.
Sir, do you know which two teams are playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday?
It's the Seahawks and the Patriots.
Sorry, I don't speak English.
I think Seattle and some other team.
No.
No.
You don't watch football?
No.
Seahawks?
Yes.
Yeah, they're there. I don't know.
Who's playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday? The Deflatriots and the Seahawks.
The Patriots and... I don't remember.
Oh, my God. I don't speak English very good. Sorry.
Solo español.
Oh, do you watch football americano?
No.
All right, gracias.
De nada.
I have no idea.
I really don't know.
What's your work at Dave & Buster's?
I do not.
You don't follow football?
Not really.
The Seahawks and the Patriots.
It's Seattle and New England.
The Patriots and the Seahawks.
You know who's playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday?
No.
Okay, give me. It went by too fast for me. Give me the count, please. How many out of 26 could name both teams in the Super Bowl?
9 out of 26. Name both teams.
We didn't take into account don't speak English.
Yeah, no. You know what?
I forgot that.
I was saying, you know, the sample size from the nation, it might have been the sample size of the world. Yeah, so...
Number one answer on the board was, I'm sorry, I don't speak English.
Yeah. So 9 out of 26 knew, 10 didn't know, 4 didn't speak English, and 3 knew half.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. All right.
I like the ones that could come up with Seattle, but not New England.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
The whole thing.
That is weird. I like the guy who called him the Deflatriot. That guy was on it, man. K-Rock's World Tour 2015 destination number 3 is U2 in Barcelona. Get qualified for that in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Sunday nights at 7, Kevin, while all the smart people are watching 60 Minutes over there on CBS,
mm-hmm.
The rest of us are on Fox watching the Mulaney Show with the very funny John Mulaney, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good, thank you.
We're doing fine. I'm a little bit confused. It sounds to me like you're going to be at Club Nokia with some famous friends tomorrow night trying to plan some sort of prison break, but I'm not sure what's happening.
No, not quite. Me and Nick Kroll, Sarah Silverman, and Conan O'Brien, and Jenny Slate, and more are performing at Club Nokia tomorrow. This is a comedy show that my wife and I are producing, and all the money goes to the Innocence Project, which helps wrongfully convicted people get out of prison, not just anyone get out of prison.
Oh, so you're just not trying to break out everybody who's in jail.
No, it's not like we're just breaking into Arkham Asylum and, you know, letting the Joker out. This is wrongfully convicted people that the Innocence Project works with.
Now, you are a young, as you say, pleasant white man. How did you, of all people, get involved in the Innocence Project?
Well, my wife, actually, her family had been donating money to them since she was young, and I'd read about them over the years and followed cases, the types of cases they work on, like, you know, the West Memphis 3 from the Paradise Lost documentary. So I was very aware of them for a long time. And then about a year and a half ago, my wife and I put on the first benefit in New York, which was a big success. So we thought this year we're just going to top it at Club Nokia and get the best lineup possible. And we really hope people come out because every dollar goes towards innocent people paying for DNA testing that they otherwise can't afford. So it's a great, great cause.
I see a lot of stories in the news. Wasn't there one just this past week, John, of a guy, gosh, I don't have any of the details in front of me, but a guy who spent more than half of his life in jail?
There's almost a story every week at this point. There was a guy in North Carolina that they just got out of prison after serving 36 years for a murder he didn't commit.
How does this happen so much? Is it just that the DNA evidence is not being widely collected or used enough in criminal cases?
Well, there was a period where there wasn't DNA evidence being collected. It's also, there are a lot of things that I've learned about by working with the Innocence Project, like, you know, eyewitness identification isn't always that reliable. A lot of the things that people thought 25, 30 years ago were how you close a case are not actually always reliable, and a lot of innocent people, obviously, who also didn't have the money to pay, you know, for high-priced lawyers, a lot of people suffered because of that.
So how does the Innocence Project go take a look at those? Do they choose death row cases first? Do they choose people who
they choose both death row cases and non-death row cases. People petition to the Innocence Project. And the Innocence Project has a team of amazing lawyers, and they also have independent DNA labs because a lot of DNA labs are owned by the state, and it's the state that's prosecuting you, so it can be a kind of tricky situation.
So the state doesn't want to be embarrassed, so they just don't do it.
Look, there's a tremendous benefit to a state not reopening cases and not exonerating people because those people are entitled to a lot of money from the state. But the Innocence Project is mostly involved in just getting the truth out there, and that's why it's a cause that we've always cared a lot about.
This is the voice of actor and comedian John Mulaney on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sorry to interrupt there, John. The event is going to be tomorrow night at the Club Nokia in downtown Los Angeles. You can buy your tickets at access.com. Tickets are $55. This lineup, by the way, is pretty incredible. It's hard to get Conan O'Brien out to do stuff, right?
Yeah, this is very cool of Conan to do. Yeah, I mean, we're already so thrilled that Nick Kroll, Sarah Silverman, Jenny Slate, Gerard Carmichael, a comedian that a lot of people in town know and love. But for Conan to come out share the stage with us and support the cause is amazing. He's a very wonderful man to do it.
Where's your little friend Martin Short, your co-star on Mulaney? He should be up first.
Well, he's on Broadway in New York right now.
Ah, do it, stupid Broadway.
He's with us in spirit. Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, because I know we got to go and you do too, Judd. I just want to ask you, because you've been doing this Mulaney show with Martin Short. I mean, you're a guy who's been around a lot of people. You've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people through your work on SNL and Kroll and Comedy Central and everything. Martin Short, though, comedy legend. Do you ever get over the awe of showing up to work and doing a scene opposite that dude?
No. Never get over it. Never get over even seeing his name in an email to me, you know? Like, it seems like a joke. It seems like a prank from a friend calling to say, hey, this is Martin Short, give me a call back. No, he was absolutely incredible to work with, and he is in a play right now called It's Only a Play on Broadway that, I can't wait to check out when I'm in New York.
He's literally the nicest guy in show business, too, right?
Yeah, that's what people say about him, and normally when people say that, it's not true, but it's completely true in his case.
When people say that about him, it's not true?
No, normally when someone, has a reputation for being nice, it's like they turn out to be the least nice person.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But in Martin Short's case, he's absolutely that.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you're doing good work on the show and great work with this Innocent Project benefit. I hope that a lot of our listeners...
I hope everyone can come out tomorrow night to Club Nokia, me, Conan O'Brien, and more, all for a really, really great cause.
Absolutely. It's AXS.com tomorrow night at Club Nokia. John, glad you came on to tell us about it, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's really, really means a lot.
You bet.
With my body, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
It's my favorite part.
Me too.
Yeah.
Right?
Someone's got to oil that thing. Need some oil.
That's great goddamn radio.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Ralph Garman, take it away.
Can you be accidentally racist without meaning to be racist?
Of course you can.
I imagine.
Sure.
I don't know.
Bean, we know, is genuinely racist. But can someone else say something accidentally and it comes off as racist, but in no way possibly could it be truly construed as being racist?
Yeah, I think that happens too. Probably
people
more.
People still get mad at that person.
Yes, they do.
I feel bad for that person.
But I feel like...
I am that person often.
Yeah, forget you.
I don't feel bad for you. I feel bad for people.
I feel like there are a lot of people who are upset for a group or whatever that get upset, and they're not the right ones that should be complaining.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Such is the case with Benedict Cumberbatch. He was on PBS's The Travis Smiley Show. Familiar with that talk show, Travis Smiley?
Sure, yes.
African-American talk show host on PBS. Has a real good show over there. Had him on, and they were talking about opportunities for black actors in the U.K.
Okay.
And, of course, Benedict Cumberbatch is British and is a wildly successful actor. And he talked about the difficulties black actors face in the U.K. as compared to the U.S. He believes there's more opportunity for African-American actors in the U.S. or even British black actors, for that case, when they come to the States than there is back in his homeland of England.
All right.
Here's how he said it. I think as far as colored actors go, it gets really different in the U.K. And a lot of my friends have had more opportunities in America than in the U.K., and that's something that needs to change.
Yeah.
So there he is trying to promote more opportunity for black actors in the U.K., but he did use the phrase, I think, as far as colored actors go.
Yeah.
That turns out not to be so much of a good phrase.
It's an unfortunate word, I think.
It's not currently in vogue.
It is not.
But you sort of also, I agree with you, Ralph, that you sort of also know that he doesn't intend that to be a slight.
In the context of him using that was his asking for more opportunity for black actors in the U.K. What could be less racist than that?
So Tavis should have said a different word, and then he could have used a different word.
Well, he didn't really attack him on. There is an anti-racism educational charity called Show Racism the Red Card.
Okay.
And they spoke to the Independent in the U.K. about his statement, and they said they pretty much blamed him for using inappropriate terminology, I guess you could say. And they're saying although he meant well, he was very inappropriate.
Honest mistake, though.
I just feel bad.
Yeah, isn't there a place where you just go, okay, look, wrong choice of words. Maybe you're not aware that that's
we just don't use that
right
as much anymore, although it was at one time our preferred choice.
Cumberbatch released the following statement. I'm devastated to have caused offense by using this outmoded terminology. I offer my sincere apologies. I make no excuse for my being an idiot and know the damage is done. So even in his apology, he was definitely trying to make it.
This is why we talk to Bruce Endicott every time we're in a difficult situation to make sure we don't make mistakes like this.
Yeah, I'm not feeling strong about his track record, though.
I think he gives a lot of good advice.
More in race and show business. Should we continue with race?
Sure.
My favorite moment by far of the Screen Actors Guild Awards was the pre-show interviews, where a complete bonehead named Danielle Dembski was on the red carpet talking to celebrities. She is the quintessential vapid entertainment reporter. These dumbos they put on the red carpet just interviewing people about dresses and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She was talking to the lovely and talented Rashida Jones. I just think she is just beautiful and so funny. And she was on the red carpet. And Danielle Dembski, by the way, Rashida Jones, as you may or may not know, is the daughter of music legend Quincy Jones,
right,
and the lovely and talented Peggy Lipton, one of my favorite actresses. She is biracial.
Okay.
You should know that before you hear the following interview.
You look like you've just come off like an island or something. You're very tan, very tropical.
I mean, you know, I'm ethnic.
She thought she had a great tan, when in fact she is biracial.
You know, I'm ethnic.
You know, I'm ethnic.
What about the tan on that guy who plays Martin Luther King with Selma? I mean, that guy's been on the beach.
This is just craziness. Just craziness. Today's celebrity birthdays. Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon is 27 years old today. UFC lightweight champion Anthony Pettis, 28 years old. Actress Rosamund Pike, she's 36. Actor, comedian, author, all-around good guy. Happy to call him my friend. Patton Oswalt celebrates his 46th birthday today. Faith No More singer Mike Patton is 47. They just announced a new Faith No More album. First one in 18 years coming out this year.
How about that?
Alan Cumming is 50 years old today. ESPN's Keith Olbermann, he is 56. And football analyst Chris Collinsworth, also 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Gillian Jacobs in the studio. We have Jeff Garland in the studio.
No, you're waiting for a bell, weren't you?
I was.
Look, I love Jeff.
Me too.
He's not a sexy beast.
That's correct, yeah. Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow with This Week in Rage and a brand new Bean's Death Corner. That is all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.